America.
Learning doesn't have to be painful. It can be fun. And if you can get students that are not excited about school excited and make what you're doing fun, make it relevant to them, then they're going to catch on. They're going to have those aha moments.
Fighting for Idaho.
Some of the stuff we see in education on the news is on the negative side. For every negative article there is about funding and levies and what have you, there are great things that go on in every school and in every classroom. And there are a lot of teachers who put a lot of hard work into what they do.
Fighting for you.
Focuses on student learning. How are we as a teacher, as an educator, ensuring that kids are learning?
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Good morning!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Living the dream each and every day. Blessed to be a part of your morning. Thank you all for joining us. K. Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We're joined by former state senator, former candidate for Congress, probably a lot of other things. Nicole LeFevre with us. Good to have you with us, Senator.
Thank you, Kevin. Nice to be here.
Chairman, chairperson, CEO of the Add the Words campaign. Well, what would be your title with that?
There is the Add the Words organization, which I helped found. But this year I worked with Add the Four Words, which is a little bit different, use different tactics, is not a formal organization, just a group of people who were really determined to finally get the legislature to give us a hearing on adding gay and transgender people to Idaho's human rights laws, the laws that already exist and just prevent people from being fired, evicted, denied service in restaurants and businesses.
Now, do you believe, and you've heard this a million times, obviously you do, and you, if you can explain it to us here at 580KIDO, that is going on here in Idaho?
That what's going on?
The discrimination.
Oh, that people are fired from their jobs or evicted from their apartments because they're gay?
Right.
Oh, I can promise you they are. I think a lot of people out there, probably know people who've had that happen to them.
Wouldn't that be made public, though? And if not, why?
Well, usually if you lost your job because you're gay, you're not in a safe situation. And so if you did that, you can face harassment, hate crimes. You might have a hard time getting another job.
Sure. And we're all sensitive to that. But, a lot of folks on, you know, Kevin Miller's side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle would say, well, why don't people come forward with this? And there are allegations that, there are hate crimes going on, that there's discrimination going on. And you have a lot of people would say, well, we need to bring them to the forefront. Chief Masterson, for one, says that is going on.
He does. Last summer, unfortunately, there was a large rash of hate crimes. We had five people who experienced physical violence accompanied by threats and words that were said that indicated that this violence was because they were gay or transgender. And, you know, I think that it's very few people in society who do this. I do. But nonetheless, if we fail to say that it's wrong, we might as well be saying it's okay.
580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. The way, though, that we take a look at society today, you would think, and I've said this on the air, to sit there and say, hey, you can't do this because you're gay or this, that, and the other, you're committing politically correct suicide.
I think when we had the civil rights movement, we recognized that sometimes we really do have to say that something is wrong, because if we don't, we're saying it's okay and it can continue to go on. And so basically, if you're arguing that we should take away those protections that keep people from being fired because, they're black, or being fired because they're LDS, or fired because, they are a certain age, then that's a different conversation. But if you want to keep gay people out of protections to just keep us able to hold a job without having to face discrimination and the loss of that job just because we're gay, not because of our job performance, then that is a discussion about discrimination and discussion about, really deciding what values we have as a society. And if we want, a lot of people out there have gay sons and daughters, they have family members, they have friends they know are gay. And I think we all recognize that in a civil society, we either want people to have that basic freedom and liberty to support themselves and live in peace, or, society breaks down.
Well, I would say society broke down with your protest.
we stood silently in doorways.
And nobody said anything about denying anybody their civil rights here. I didn't say that.
when somebody is fired from their job or denied service in a restaurant or business, that's being denied some basic civil rights.
And I would think that somebody, if that had happened, that they would go public with that, considering the attention that your campaign has garnered.
There are people out there who go to the Human Rights Commission every year. In fact, there was one year, even though the Human Rights Commission can't actually collect this data because they're, you know, gay people are not included in their authorizing act. There was one year they collected stories of discrimination. You know, even if there are only five in the whole state in the course of a year, isn't it something we want to say is wrong?
Well, I would like to see the five.
I am absolutely certain I can, you know, would you like me to you know, bring in my friend,
I think people,
Sheena, who
I think,
was fired from Winco, or would you like me to
right.
bring in?
I would like you to do that, and I'm not being disrespectful because we hear the allegations and we never see the evidence. I think that would help your cause if you would have people say, look, I was fired from such and such because I'm gay.
So you want me to bring in people who were fired for being gay to come in and say, hi, I'm a gay person, and I'm hoping to get another job. I realize
is it against the law to be gay?
It can lose you your job because it's not illegal to fire you. You've got to understand the fear people live in. All over this city, and well, the city less so now, but the state, there are people who do not put a picture of their partner on the desk. They censor out the gender of the person they spent the weekend with all year long, every conversation they have. They have to have this extra protection around their life to try and just keep a job.
Well, and on the other hand, I see gay people all the time.
In Boise.
I see them in Denver. I see them in Boise. I see them everywhere.
Sure. Yep, we're everywhere. And some of us are self-employed. We're safe enough. We're lucky enough.
Right.
Others of us can't have that luxury. We take the job that we get.
And you obviously, you firmly believe this.
It's fairly logical.
Well, with your opinion, on the other hand, my opinion is, again, I don't see a lot of evidence of this. What's wrong with that, though? Having people come
why
in?
Do we need to focus on that? Why can't we just talk about whether it's wrong or it's not?
Because I think it's easy to make a lot of allegations.
It's not about allegations, it's about whether it's wrong or not. Right.
Well, but, Senator, you're saying that this is going on, and it's kind of like me making allegations without any proof. I think that that would help with the credibility, and it would help a lot of people join your movement.
Well, I mean, in some ways, it's kind of funny because some people actually want to pass a law to protect their right to actually fire people. They actually oppose this going into the Human Rights Act because they would like to reserve their right to discriminate and to fire someone, and they've said so. And so if there are people who say that, then why are there not people who have experienced this, you know, loss of jobs and loss of service in restaurants and businesses?
Right, right. Maybe it hasn't happened. I mean, what about me? I'm fat. People can discriminate against me. They can call me fatty all the time.
Well,
it's the lifestyle I choose.
You know, and here's the thing. If you say choose, you are doing something that is...
I choose to be fat.
And so you're saying I choose to be gay.
I didn't say that.
Okay. What religion did you choose?
What religion did I choose? Mm-hmm. I'm a Catholic.
Okay, there we go.
What does that mean?
Well, I think you're saying that a choice is not something that deserves protection in our civil rights laws.
Is there a difference between behavior and race?
Religious behavior and race, yes.
Well, religious behavior is guaranteed by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. So is the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Sure. Catherine, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO.
Good morning. I think that if anybody in my establishment were to proclaim to everybody around here or anybody around here what they were doing in their bedrooms, I would fire them, whether they were gay or not, because it doesn't belong in my place of business. And being gay, if you know that somebody's gay, then they have been telling about it, talking about it. They just keep it in their bedroom and keep it to themselves. Nobody knows, and they can't discriminate against them if they don't know. Just keep it to yourselves, because it's not something you tell everybody anyhow. I don't think I don't think I want anybody knowing what I do in my bedroom with my husband.
Well,
and I don't think it should be out in the public for display.
You know, I would have to agree with you. Sex is a very personal, private thing. And the thing that is different about what you're saying is when someone is married, when there's a wedding celebration, that is a union between two people. And if it's a man and a woman, then there is no difference between that person declaring I have a relationship with this person and a gay person just saying I'm gay. That means I have a relationship with a different person. Neither one is more or less about sex than the other.
Okay, but I don't want to hear it in my place of business.
So the idea that someone's gay bothers you?
No, I don't think it's professional. It doesn't belong here. So if I don't know about it, I can't discriminate them or fire them because they're gay. So I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know what you do in your bedroom. This is not professional, and I don't need it in my place of business.
So when someone says they just got married, you don't think about what they do in their bedroom?
I don't.
No,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to either. So when someone says they're gay, it just says...
It's a legal thing that they did. I have a lady who told me, you know, they were gone for a couple of days and they got married. So what? That's their business. And, yeah, it's kind of the only difference it made to me was that I changed their name on her last name.
Fair enough, Catherine. Thank you for the call. Your response to that, former state senator, former candidate for Congress, Democratic nominee, Nicola Faber with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. And again, as uncomfortable as this might be for you, ma'am, we appreciate you coming in. And for people calling in, I think it's a value to have a discussion here, don't
it's
you?
It's all right. I'm used to it.
No, but I mean, you're laughing, but I mean, don't you realize there's a value in this?
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, I wouldn't have come if I didn't think so. I think it's really important to have the conversation. I think that's maybe one of the things that has caused the greatest harm in this day is that too often we don't talk about it. A lot of people in everyone out there's circle of friends and family are gay, and you may not know it because they're afraid to have that conversation with you. And, you know, there are a lot of young people out there who are very afraid because they hear the attitudes and they worry that their lives are not valued and they have no idea. They feel that they are less than human, perhaps, or that something horrible will happen to them if they tell their parents or tell others that they're gay. We have an incredibly high suicide rate in this state, one of the highest in the nation, I think the sixth highest right now. And typically about one third of young people who take their lives are struggling with issues of sexual orientation or gender identity. And Idaho has one of those highest rates because we do have a very closed...
Gain your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Does Idaho need to add the words? Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Former state senator, former Democratic nominee for Congress in the 2nd District, Nicola Faber with us. As we talk about the campaign to add the words, Sharon, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. Hello, Sharon.
Yes, good morning. I have something unusual to say about this. There's a lot of sympathy and help for people that want to be gay. However, there has been no mention of help financially, compassionately, emotionally for the spouses that are left by adult men or women to go to the same sex. And it's a terrible situation. No one's talked about that aspect of this, as well as I think it should be kept, same-sex relationships should be kept in the bedroom. Why? Out of respect as well as sensitivity, because it doesn't do my heart any good to see my husband receive many, many emails from other men signing their name, hugs, or XOXO and a man's name going to my husband. It hurt like hell. It still does, and I'm suffering, and there's nobody...
So you're saying you're
offering me any emotional or financial or legal help
right.
to deal with this, and I'm hurting bad.
Yeah,
well, I'm sorry.
Sure.
So
that's
yeah.
what the gay people need to look at is how they're hurting people, and to please don't have to hug the other man's butt in front of a woman. That is really hurts her.
Well, I don't want anybody hugging my butt in front of my wife. But Sharon, God bless you, and thank you for the call. So her husband went gay.
I don't know that I would phrase it that way, but it sounds very painful. And, you know, I really sympathize with her. I my mom is gay, and I watched my dad be devastated by that. And it was a very, very hard time in our family. And I will say that for any family that has to go through any kind of divorce or any kind of major change and upheaval like that, it's not easy and it's very painful.
Diane in Boise at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Kevin and Senator Lefebvre. I just wanted to take the conversation back when earlier, Kevin, you were asking for proof.
Yes.
People in the LGBT community have been trying to get a chance to have that discussion with the state legislature for over 8 years. That's really what a lot of this movement is about, is just being able to have that discussion with the legislature, and they have refused to listen to us.
Well, do you have any proof?
I don't really think that this is the forum to provide an individual person's proof. I don't necessarily feel that it's an opportunity for me to trot out my personal experiences. But I think that that's why we want to be able to have that discussion with legislators in a forum where it can have some effect. That's really all that people have been wanting for many years.
Diane is correct. There has not ever been a public hearing on this issue. In other words, I mean, not only have lawmakers, I mean, it would be fine if everybody wanted to vote no, that's just fine.
You
but
think
the problem
so?
We've had...
But no, do you really think so that it would be fine... That you would think that, considering how emotional the gun thing was. I mean, this would be an emotional hearing, and
it would. And why would you not listen to people's stories and want to educate yourself and hear the stories that you're asking for?
I want to hear the stories today.
Well, then ask the legislature to give us a hearing. We spent 8 years having reasoned debate, trying to just get a public hearing, get the legislature even to just listen to people's stories. And for 8 years, with all the diplomacy and all the patience in the world, we never had that happen. So what was left to do, you know? What was left to do? That's why we did that this year.
And what are you going to do?
So this next year, we're prepared to do the same if we have to. I hope we don't have to. None of us want to.
We go to Mike in Nampa at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Kevin. To me, the nub of the problem is it's a question of... We're all ready to be tolerant of a behavior we find totally objectionable, but the other side, senator's side there, former senator's side, they want acceptance. We're not willing to go there. And to me, that's the nub of the problem right there. Just a total disagreement between one side who is willing to tolerate their behavior, but we don't want to accept it. So keep it out of our workplace. Don't flaunt it, and you'll be fine. Talk to you later.
Mike, thank you for the call.
So I guess, you know, we all need to talk about what flaunting is. If I put a picture of my partner on my desk, is that flaunting it? If I mention the gender of my partner in the conversation around the water cooler where everybody's talking about what they did with their husbands and wives, is that flaunting it? Where does it stop? You know, if it's not okay for me just simply to be a gay person, then what do I have to do to avoid having you know that, for it to be okay with you? And to ask for acceptance, is that a lot, just to be left alone? This is a live and let live state. Most people are willing to just accept people for who they are. There are just a few who don't. And for those few who don't, all we're asking is just the law should say we should be treated decently. That's all. Just with respect.
Jim in Boise at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I kind of wanted to offer a observation, if I may, to the senator.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I kind of feel that I've listened to you all morning. You're very intelligent. You can tell, well spoken, but you just ooze victimology. And I think this is more a human condition than it really is a matter of whether we like a certain, gay or not. I think it's anybody that walks around oozing a victimology is going to be victimized. It happens with little kids throughout.
Does that make it okay?
Doesn't make it okay. I'm just saying it's a human condition. My daughter is gay. One of my best friends is gay. No, my daughter might be bothered occasionally by it because she has a bit of, she's younger and has a bit of that PC victim. Well, I'm a victim because I'm a lesbian. My friend, on the other hand, you'd have to argue with people to convince people that he's gay. You have to understand and accept, like you're asking us to accept, that that's going to be a condition. People are going to do that.
No, I think as a society we stand up and say some things are wrong, and violence is wrong, and cruelty is wrong, and firing people just because they're gay is wrong. Telling them that you won't serve them in the restaurants is wrong. And we're just asking for a change in law.
All right, fair enough. Jim, thank you for the call. Senator, thank you.
I have one last thing. You know, unfortunately, I'm the person that people still call when their child commits suicide too often, when they're fired from their jobs, when they're beaten in an alleyway. And that has made me passionate.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Abe Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you, Dave Burnett, the Manly Man segment. And I thought I would start off with something a little different, and we'll get Dave's take on this in a second. But let's see if this will work.
The FDA has issued a warning to the manufacturer of a supplement containing a meth-like substance. The letter was sent to Driven Sports, maker of the popular sports supplement Crave, stating that several ingredients in the product, including Dendrobex, have never been used in food and have not been submitted to the FDA as a new dietary ingredient. Driven Sports says Crave doesn't contain anything unsafe. For more on this story, visit foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Colleen Capon, Fox News Radio.
So there you have it. Forget Breaking Bad, there's meth in sports drinks now, Dave.
No, I didn't say that.
Meth-like substance.
A meth-like substance. It didn't say it was meth.
Meth-like, meth-light.
Meth-like substance.
It's all the same to me.
See, if it was meth, it'd say there's meth in it. But it's a meth-like substance.
Which may or may not be copacetic, according to the FDA. Didn't get approval before they went to the shelves. Shame, shame.
Well, shame on, yeah, absolutely. You need to, get that stuff passed and the way it should be. Otherwise, you have disc jockeys coming out saying, talk show hosts saying, it's a meth-like substance. Run for your life.
I'm not a disc jockey, and a talk show host is entitled to his opinion. And
the FDA has issued a warning to the manufacturer of a supplement containing a meth-like substance.
A meth-like substance.
Close enough for me. If the FDA is warning people about a meth-like substance, that's good enough.
Then the FDA should pull it from the shelf.
I think that they're probably gonna.
Yeah, then they should. Simple as that.
And I'm right once again, and you're wrong.
Right about what? That it's a meth-like substance?
It's meth.
No, it's a meth-like substance, Kevin. There's
Dave,
a difference.
Dave. Well, what's the difference?
Well, it's meth-like. Which
when
means
it's
that it could.
But it's meth-like.
Which
yes,
means
right.
It could give the same symptoms as somebody who's taking meth. It could be that.
Danger, danger.
Well, there's a lot of stuff. Quit drinking coffee. That caffeine,
well, coffee,
very
coffee
meth-like
is legal.
Substance.
No, now you're stretching. Anyway, so what's going on?
No, you just...
I don't want to get bogged down in this silly conversation.
Let's move on.
I'm not losing. I mean, again, it's not serving the listener at 580KIDO if we go back and forth on something silly, so let's move on.
Okay, I'm just saying, just don't come out saying something meth-like and saying
I'm going to say
is.
Whatever I want to say.
No,
it's a show about an opinion. Yes, I am. I will. That's just how it is.
Then my opinion doesn't count.
Well, your opinion counts. We can agree to disagree, but I'm trying to get people to tune in the wow factor, and you're putting a wet blanket on it.
Well, me playing the part of the wet blanket, I find it fascinating. Seattle media gets a taste of Coach Pete and the way he handles the media yesterday, or actually I think it was 2 days ago. Seattle's has a wide receiver that went to court yesterday and a quarterback also implicated. Both have been suspended from the team pending the outcome of what the, you know, what is found in the investigation. And the media comes up to Coach Pete and wants answers out of him, and he basically gives them the classic Coach Pete, we're not commenting on that. It's being handled internally, not commenting on it. And just shuts down the media, and they go, well, how about blah, 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 blah? Well, I told you, we're not talking about it publicly until we know the outcome to know which way to go. Next question. It was classic, Coach Pete. I just found it funny that the media in Seattle is going, wait a minute. So good for Coach Pete. There he goes. Classic Coach Pete.
Yeah, I think Coach Pete's going to be in trouble.
Because of what?
Well, because he pushed around all the Cub reporters here, mm-hmm. and the Broncos have a hold on this town, more so probably than any other entity. And if you want access to them, if you want ever, you make sure that you sing the party line. I can remember many times, and I really felt bad for these kids in their 20s that are starting out, getting their first taste of big-time college football. And Coach Pete would go, you guys in the press. And I'm thinking, and I go back, and you're going to disagree with me, but what else is new at 580 KIDO? That's what makes this segment what it is the Kyle Brotzman story where, he got threatening things on Facebook and it was really bad. This is the best place to live when you're talking about raising a family, when you're talking about threats against people, except in my neighborhood. When you're talking about just living a good, wholesome, stress-free life. And the way that the folks in the national media allowed that, or the Broncos allowed the national media to portray that was, I didn't agree with it, number one, and I thought it was a disservice to the local folks that cover it all the time that, hey, let's get Mr. Brotzman on Good Morning America. Mr. Brotzman, a local kid, still lives here locally, I believe. And let's get him on Good Morning America. Let's get Tom Rinaldi to get to the bottom of it. And it's so many times the national media, you know, just like I did with the meth thing, blows things out of proportion. And Coach Pete, I think, is going to find that you're going to have people as old as Coach Pete, or older that have been doing this for quite a long time and aren't going to take his shenanigans.
We'll find out. I mean, that's why I was bringing this up is I think this is really the first case where Coach Pete tried to stonewall, and it worked. We'll see what happens the next time around. I will find it fascinating.
Well, and I personally have not turned on Coach Pete like a lot of his supporters in the press have because he's left town. Mm-hmm. And you know this. I would be, you know, I don't know how you define my thoughts on Pete one way or the other. I think he did the most with the least and everything else. Was he perfect? No. But I'm not going to sit there, and I know you haven't, but a turn on him. But the press has a way of getting their revenge, and I wish Coach Pete a lot of success. But if he struggles a little, they'll turn on him in those press conferences, those news conferences, as you know from covering big-time sports, can be quite contentious.
Oh, absolutely they can, because there's big money and big sports.
Well, and there's always a big story. And you know, the great thing about Chris Peterson is, you know, you want to find the closest person to Clark Kent. That's him. He's about as exciting as a glass of milk. He's a great family guy. He loves the community. He gives back. All those great things. You never have to worry about him embarrassing the institution and upholding the highest standards. But you're going to have people, you know, whether it's anonymous sources or something like that. And going back here where and I don't blame the institution. Heck, if you can get control, why not exercise it? Just amazed me when they had a few bumps last year, the year before. Well, you guys like to cheer it up. Well, with all due respect, it was the media, with the help of Coach Pete, but it was the media that brought the attention to the program that allowed it to succeed to where it is today.
Absolutely. I like the Clark Kent reference. That's very
funny.
It is.
And you know something? I find that refreshingly rare in today's world of, what is it, Alden Smith, the guy from the 49ers who yelled bomb in the airport?
Now, nobody said he had to be smart to be a professional athlete.
But you know that. Look, you talk to these guys that play in the pros and all that. Look, you just don't go on there and you know, run to the ball. There's a lot of sophisticated information that you have to digest and comprehend and get it down so through rote that you don't think. You just react.
That is true.
So on one hand, you have this high level of accountability and competency, and on the other, it's, you know, who would go into an airport and, yeah, you get hassled. Yes, it's not fun. I'm sure it's not fun for the TSA people, whether they're on their way into work here at 580 KIDO or not, that they have to deal with a lot of folks each and every day.
And there's always a smart aleck in every crowd.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, and it's like our meetings, and I'm sure that, you know, we'll have another
like
one.
Like yours and my meetings, you mean?
No, when we... when we're forced to hang out with everybody else in the broadcast center and everybody wants to perform, and I'm going, you're paid to perform, why give a free sample? And everybody's got to get a yuck-yuck, the yuck-yuck club.
Oh, you always love those. They always slow down the meetings.
Yeah. Now, I have a question for you.
I'm ready.
And you don't mind correcting me, as just was proven in the first kibble of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You have no problem correcting me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
All right. So
that's what they keep me on staff for.
Yeah. So I'm at Peterson Toyota yesterday. I just get talking to the folks there, and I have a friend of mine who's renting a car from Enterprise right next door. And I love just talking about customer service and the lack thereof. So this is the same place, and I think I told this on the air before, where the reason why I don't rent cars from there anymore is I had a young 24-year-old kid demand to know where I worked, wanted my work history, inspected the car with a glaring eye, sure that I didn't damage it, and everything else. And it just, when you're the customer, you should get some type of respect, shouldn't you?
I can see the kid's point of view, though. But
the point
yes.
of view. Although yeah. I've rented cars for over 20 years and never been disrespected like that.
That kid
as
may
a
have,
46-year-old man.
That kid may have gotten his hind end chewed out because he didn't do his job properly, so he was going overboard. The car
right.
rental place
well,
is always tough because I always go over them to the point I irritate them. If I'm renting a car, I go over it with such a fine-tooth comb. I mean, I'm taking pictures with my phone of, look, there's a little scratch there. Got a picture of that. Click. Because I don't want to be
right.
dinged for it. So he may have been jumped, and so he was going overboard. But I'll let you continue.
Right. Thank you. Because it gets kind of convoluted. So I, my friend says, hey, I'm going to be late. They call in. And so they get there, right when they said they'd get there. And the folks at Enterprise gave their car away.
Whoops.
Now, how do you respond to that? Gee, I'm very sorry. What can I do for you? Instead, we get someone there, very nice person, who, you know, was doing the best they could. Well, you didn't show up, so we gave your car away. And then continued on with this point. And finally I said, look, this isn't getting anywhere. Let's speak to a manager. They're not here. Okay, well, where's the regional manager? They're not here. And so they kept calling people. They couldn't get a hold of people. And then it went back to the clerk and my friend going back and forth. Because, again, the people in charge weren't there. There was no one in charge there. And it kept going back, well, you know, maybe we can get something for you at 3. We've had a Chevy recall. And I'm going, I don't care about a Chevy recall. I don't really care about this. And then finally I said, excuse me, we're not going to engage with you anymore. We're leaving. And I called Hotwire and had a car from Hertz at the airport within 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah, Hertz tries harder.
So, well, no, it's just Hotwire. You just, and it's a lot cheaper, and they run them against each other. So my question is, was I wrong to sit there and demand some accountability? And I remember the assistant manager coming out, and I was wearing my shirt, and I go, look, I do a radio show here, and quite frankly, sir, I don't know the accountability here. And the manager just walked in and ignored the customers outside. And I said, how do you explain that? For 30 minutes, no one could get a hold of any of you folks, and you gave a car away. And instead of trying to make it right, you're sitting there blaming the customer. Is that the way of the world? The customer's wrong?
No, I think you probably... How late was the guy for picking up his car?
Let's see. Was supposed to be at 10, got there at noon, but called at 9:30. The person assured them, don't worry, we will save it. Thank you for calling. Blah,
no,
blah, blah,
absolutely.
Blah.
Yeah, no, in my view, you were absolutely in the realm of right.
Yeah, and you just sit there, and you do a lot of things. You work with a lot of people at various levels, and you're very good at just kind of stepping back and going, now, am I missing something here? And that's and once again, I thought of you yesterday, and I said, I can't wait to share this with Dave Burnett, because if I'm wrong, just like with the meth thing, Dave Burnett will tell me.
No, I think you're right, and I will say this quickly before we go to traffic. Having owned a business, if something's wrong as the owner, I want to know, and I want it fixed. Yeah. I don't want the minions destroying my business and livelihood. So, yeah, you were in your rights for once.
All right. I need to record that and save it.
For once. Traffic now, Kevin. Is
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller, broadcasting from the College of Idaho, courtesy of our friends at CapEd, proudly supporting our schools. We talked to a lot of folks here and the role of community college in certainly making Idaho a better place. We're focusing in again this time around, not only on the high schools, but higher ed, looking forward to just getting a vibe here. We were here last year, very happy to be here once again. We'll also talk about some of the top stories. And we'll kind of briefly run down what's on the Kevin Miller Hot List, the Fargo edition. Before that, though, let's get you to work safely and on. We march on. Hey, do you want some good news? Coming up, we'll talk about your chances to be audited. That's right. Feeling lucky? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Serving more.